Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now that more and more women are moving into restaurant kitchens, we're hearing from more men who cook at home. Novelist Keith Dixon is an accomplished home chef, and he writes about cooking and new fatherhood and shares some recipes in his new book, Cooking for Gracie, The Making of a Parent from Scratch. He joins me now here in studio. Welcome.
Thanks. Thanks for having me.
So tell us about Gracie. She is your daughter who inspired the book, but she had a rough start, didn't she?
She had a very, very rough start. My wife had a very challenging pregnancy. We had a lot of surprises along the way involving genetic problems, things like her weight. And then she arrived about 5 weeks early, so of course we were completely not ready for it. And that sort of foretold the process that was just getting underway. It was going to be a surprise every step of the way.
Mm. And why don't we, with that context, read a little passage from the book just to give a taste, if you will, of what having a newborn baby in the house was like, you know, for those who've never had the pleasure of it, to understand a little bit of your experience and that of newborn parents.
From chapter two, it happens this way. After the midnight feeding, you topple bodily into bed and instantly fall unconscious. About a microsecond later, you're shocked awake, responding with your entire body to the redlining, the revving baby monitor. Impossibly, 3 hours have passed, and you think to yourself, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. But then you get up because the baby is crying, and you do it. And as with any responsible fright movie, the first shock is really just there to get you all worked up for the second, and the second to get you all worked up for the third. The situation finds a fresh level of complication when you wake up because the baby is crying at 6 a.m. to go feed the baby with the distinct impression that you already did the feeding, at which point you realize that you were dreaming about feeding the baby in between sessions of feeding the baby. These complications achieve a Borgesian complexity when you fall asleep while feeding the baby and somehow manage to dream about feeding the baby while you're feeding the baby.
It's like poetry. I like the reference to the fright movie. I would agree with that.
That's exactly what it's like. You get a good scare and you realize it's just there to work you up for more.
Gosh, and the adrenaline kicks in. We're going to take calls from listeners. Anyone who has a call, a question for Keith Dixon, we can take a call or two. Expectant parents out there who are looking for tips about how to cook for a family. Any parents with tips of their own, 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692. The title is Cooking for Gracie, but the recipes aren't for pureed spinach or even quick and easy adult food. It's really more metaphorical.
Absolutely.
If you don't mind my saying, at first you're cooking for Gracie by cooking for your wife who's breastfeeding. Say a little bit more about that. Are you recommending cooking to relieve stress? Is that what it's about?
Or? Well, what I'm saying is that sometimes you have to give to your family the best that you have to give them. And sometimes caring for your newborn child really means caring for your wife. And the fact is that no one out there is as driven to the edge of their sleep window, stress, everything as new mothers. They get 2 hours of sleep at a stretch at the most. And in a way, if you really want to help your new child, sometimes the best thing you can do is help your wife. And that may entail making her a nice dinner so that she has just a half an hour window where she can sort of feel like herself again.
And what did you eat yourself?
I would eat the same thing. I mean, sometimes it's a matter of cooking what's in the cabinet. Sometimes it's a matter of making things that can cook away all day. You know, everyone's sort of sharing. And that's kind of a gist in the book is that you can make recipes that not only are good for you and your wife, but also for your kid the next day.
You know, I think the book will really resonate best with city parents who are hoping against hope, to hold on to some of what gave them meaning before the kids came along.
Mm-hmm. In the city, it's a very close space, and that was really the genesis of the entire book.
Yeah.
We realized after my daughter was on a sleep schedule, we had to cook silently. And because her bedroom is a dining room right next to the kitchen, and that sort of is the start of it all.
How successfully have you managed that?
Well, it comes and it goes. I mean, Gracie is now a very willful 3.5, And, you know, as the book gets at, is that it's going to be a work in progress for the rest of your life. And now we're in the stage where she really doesn't want little green specks on her pasta, you know. And so we're just like all other parents. We're dealing with the new problems that are going to keep coming and keep coming.
Now, you were working with the New York Times when you were writing this book.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And so this book got its start with an article that you wrote for the Dining In section about trying to cook without waking the baby, using plastic utensils, which I thought was pretty innovative because I had that same dining room setup when I had my first child. Never thought about the plastic utensils. I needed your book then. And, you know, trying not to set off the smoke alarm. So what other things did you come up with, clever devices?
Well, the one that was great that worked very well is you sort of devise recipes that could be made in two parts. And these are often like soups and stews and things like that. And what you can do is I'd walk in from work, I'd put on down my coat and just quick start up a soup. And then you'd have to attend to the baby. And then it would be a recipe that would have just a few simple steps that would have to take place after the kid is in bed. That's one approach that you can use.
We have a call. Sergio is calling from Parsippany, New Jersey. With a question. Sergio, you are on WNYC and the author of the book Cooking for Gracie. Keith Dixon is with me in studio. Please go ahead.
Great. Thank you for taking my call, Keith. My wife is on bed rest, and I'm in the exact same position, I guess, as you were in a different way. I'm going to be cooking for the next 4 months, and I'm a pretty good cook. I wanted to ask you, how do you prepare days in advance for, you know, maybe 3 or 4 days ahead of time?
Well, Sergio, one of the best things to think is that a lot of recipes out there require long times to cook, but they don't require a lot of actual time in the kitchen. I'm thinking here, for example, of stews, braised short ribs, things like that. What you can do is you can get these going in the pot. They roast away in the oven for 2.5-3 hours, but you're not in there for even 5 minutes. Then what you do is you take them out, let them cool, and you freeze them in individual portions. And in just a matter of minutes, then, you've actually prepared what can be weeks' worth of meals.
That's great.
And I think it's wonderful that Sergio's calling in and that you wrote this book. My husband does all of the, well, most of the cooking. And we had a woman on recently with her book about how more of the work at home needs to be shared. Is it your experience that men now are becoming full partners in home care, child care, wife care, if you will, than our father's generation?
Absolutely. I'm finding that, you know, how generations things sort of swing back and forth between beliefs. And I think two generations back, it would have been considered very strange for husbands to be cooking 7 days a week. Perhaps for that reason, I think over the course of generations, mothers have said, you know what, you don't have to be doing this all by yourself, to their daughters. And my mom used to have a little placard on the kitchen windowsill saying, an equal opportunity kitchen, meaning, you know, my three brothers and I should feel free to pitch in and do the dishes and things like that. And change slowly comes about. So I think it's become sort of cool for men to have the talent of cooking nowadays.
And do you do most of the cooking at home still? You said that Gracie's now about 3.5.
Yes.
So what's anything changed? You shifting the balance, or are you so happy in the kitchen you're staying there, or do you go out more?
I'm staying there. We're not going out because, you know, with raising, we now have a second child, so money is, of course, a little tighter.
Which I'm getting to next.
Yeah, but my wife has the sort of unsexy responsibility of making the daytime meals for the kids, and those are the hard work. I do sympathize because I get the creative fun stuff at night. She's got the really hard challenge of making three meals a day, you know, and that's hard work. So I'm still in the kitchen at night, but it's worth pointing out that she's the one who's doing most of the work during the day.
Now, the economic crisis, which we all know has happened, happened during the time you were writing about having a new baby. Mm-hmm. And traditionally, the worry about providing has always been dad's territory. And we were talking a little bit about those roles just a moment ago. So say a little bit about the impact that has had on your family and even perhaps the course of writing this book.
Well, it's interesting. In your previous segment, you were talking about handing family businesses down.
Yes.
And having a child is it's a little like a metaphysical matter of handing a business down. But you're handing your family values down. You're handing down a way of life, a means. And so you feel when an economic downturn comes along, you feel the crunch the same way that a company might. You think, am I going to get through this with all my values intact? And that's really what you're thinking about when something comes there. You don't want to be out taking on work that you don't think is the kind of work you want your kids to be doing, that sort of thing.
Or to see you doing if it runs counter to your value system.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right.
And having a dad who cooks is, I think, a great thing for a kid to see. What about having a dad who's a writer? How aware is your oldest child, your daughter, Gracie, that the book was written about, that you are a writer and that you wrote this book? I mean, is she starting to become aware of both the time you spend in the kitchen and also your professional life?
Well, once again, this is a responsibility that has kind of fell to my spouse, because every morning I sneak off into our bedroom and shut the door for an hour. And Gracie says, "Where is Dad going?" And Mom says, "Dad is working." And she says, "Well, but he takes the train to work." She's starting to figure out that I have two jobs, if you will. And what's more, she really loves reading and books. So we've started to explain to her, like, you know, this is a book that is in a way about you. And she says, "Really?" And you show her the picture and stuff. And I think she's starting to grasp the idea that I have a couple different lines of work. And
do you think you'll continue to write about your wife and your family and your kids?
I always write about Philip Roth's best line about writing ever is, people say, "Why don't you write commercial bestsellers?" And he says, "You always have to go where the energy is." And right now, for me, there's nothing that's more fun than writing about food and my family and writing novels. And I think I'm absolutely going to continue writing.
And how about the children? The second child is a girl as well.
Margot.
And do they have adventurous palates?
Well, actually, what's funny, most parents realize they hit a very adventurous stage at around 1, 1.5, where they might put a little too much in their mouth, including stickers, you know, figurines. So my wife and I are very harried running around the apartment, but she'll eat Indian food.
Great.
She'll eat Szechuan, no problem. It's just when they sink into that 3- and 4-year-old that they start to get a little
Yeah, and anxious. I have older children, and the influence of their friends is huge.
Oh,
so, yeah, get ready
Fruit
for
roll-ups and cherry
yes,
soda.
Yes, they live on that and Doritos. Now, how about a favorite recipe in the book? Do you have one?
Oh, I love this recipe, focaccia al formaggio. It's an example of cucina povera. It's just peasant cuisine from Italy, and it's basically just two pizzas on top of each other with local cheese and rosemary in between, and you bake it until it's just crisp, and it's just wonderful. Kids love it. Parents love it. Easy to make, and can be made for about $2.
Fabulous. So. Well, we will have to leave it there, and it's a good place to leave it at lunchtime.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being with me, Keith Dixon. His book is Cooking for Gracie, The Making of a Parent from Scratch, and it was a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you very much.
I'm Jamie Floyd, in for Brian Lehrer today. Mike Pesca will be in for Brian tomorrow. And thank you, everybody, for listening.